a big part of our Jays talk is usually people wanting to talk about the up-and-comers and the kids and the prospects, and people get very, very excited about the young kids on the way up. So we have the Lansing Lugnuts play-by-play broadcasters, the Blue Jays Midwest League affiliate and low-A ball. Jesse Goldberg Strassler is here.
That's perfect.
Welcome aboard. What did you think of this big league experience here?
You know, this was my first time ever seeing a game at Rogers Center, so I enjoyed myself. It's the Midwest League All-Star break right now, so we figured we'd make the drive on over. It's not too far.
Very
and
nice.
Enjoy a baseball game.
Now, see, you're here with the roof open, and it's closing right now. You can see that one panel starting to come out to close. This is a place that's been open now. This is in its 22nd season. A lot of people in Toronto are down on Rogers Center. I think not a great place to watch a game. It's too sterile, too concrete. I've always thought there's nothing wrong with it, because at the very least, if you think it's sterile with the roof closed, you're playing. You're not sitting out a rain delay, right? What do you think? As a fresh set of eyes, what do you think of this place?
I think you got to have the retractable roof. I'm pro-roof. I enjoyed watching the game with the roof open so you could see the CN Tower. We enjoyed the experience. I could see why you'd get down on the carpet. Yeah. However, I don't understand how Minneapolis couldn't, how the Twins could have a field open and it not have a roof. If you were in a cold weather environment, you cannot leave that chance for a rain to wash you away, or even snow.
Yeah, I'm with you. But just as far as the ballpark, watching the game, I get you. You know, I'm with you on the carpet. Unfortunately, this thing is a multi-purpose facility, and they need to have turf here for all the monster truck rallies and all the stuff that happens here. But, well, I guess you weren't in the stands, so you don't get a chance to
I
have
was,
that
actually.
Sort of, oh, all right, so tell us that.
You know what? I think where it suffers is there are some ballparks in the major leagues right now that are just terrific, right? When you look at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee is underrated. Kansas City just renovated. Zoe Kauffman looks wonderful.
Yep.
And San Francisco. So there's so many really terrific ballparks, and beautiful ones open up every year. And so Rogers Center suffers by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest problem. And it's the same problem that a guy has who buys a TV, and a year later he sees the new TVs that are out.
It's your fault. You know, you used to work in Baltimore. It's Camden Yards' fault, because that was the first pretty new ballpark that was built and opened up after this one.
Well, it's true.
Yep.
And there have been some ballparks that opened up since then that didn't get it right. But I think that's the biggest difficulty, is I think that it suffers by way of comparison.
We're with Jesse Goldberg Strassler, who is the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. And everyone wants to know about the kids in the pipeline. So let's talk about some of the kids in the pipeline. Specifically, first, I want to start with Henderson Alvarez, because
yeah,
he's the guy that we've heard everyone just absolutely rave about. Young, and man, can he throw.
We're talking multi-million dollar arm. Golden arm. Now, his head, his maturity still leaves some things to be lacking. He's so young, though, and so he has time to come up. We saw him in Lansing last year, and the best thing about Henderson was you knew that a Henderson Alvarez start was going to end in 2 hours.
Mm.
There was one that went an hour 45 minutes
wow,
for a 9-inning game. He gets out there. He throws the ball hard. His changeup has terrific run, and he throws basically a slurve that he hasn't quite figured out whether he wants it to curve more or slide more. But the fastball moves all over the place, and he doesn't yet understand how to pitch. And I think that's the biggest key with him, is he's so raw, and his talent is it's starting to get tapped now. He never walks anybody, but I don't think it's because he has impeccable command. I think it's just he throws the ball right down the middle, and then it starts moving on him, and it moves right to the corners. So if it sinks, it sinks right to the knees. Or if it rises, the stuff is terrific, but he's still some years away. But his talent deserves to be raved about. And beyond that, he is an unbelievable athlete. So you'd see him out there on the mat, and you would dare somebody to bunt against him because he was that quick off the rubber.
That's terrific, and that's something we have here in Toronto with Sean Markham and Jesse Litch, who are two of the best fielding pitchers in the game, so adding one to that would be a good thing.
Don't hustle him, though. Don't hustle him.
We'll take our time with him, we promise. I mean, there's a ton of pitching depth here, which is a wonderful thing. There's no rush to get these guys up here. Two guys who were in Lansing last year, and now Kevin Ahrens, I understand, is back in Lansing
yeah,
again. These are guys, Ahrens and Justin Jackson, will always be tied together, drafted together, same age, talked about as the future left side of the infield here. And they're two guys who, from a numbers standpoint, have really disappointed. What have you? What can you tell us about them?
Well, both guys were drafted in 2007. So Ahrens went 16th overall, and I believe Jackson went 47th overall. He went supplemental, but they went through Lansing in 2008. And in 2009, last year, they were in Dunedin.
Right, that's right. Injuries, they were a level ahead, yeah.
Both of them, injuries started to hurt their careers. And so Aarons has been sent down to us with a specific mission. He was drafted as a switch hitter. He's only 21. Jackson's only 21, too, so they have time. But Aarons has been told, stop switch hitting. Concentrate on batting from the right side and crush the ball like we know that you can, because his left side was lacking. He's perfectly fine defensively. He's going to be fine there. The bat needs to come around. Now, with Justin Jackson, it's injuries. He began the season with Dunedin, batting over 300. It lasted 5 games, and then he got hurt again. So those guys, if they stay healthy, they'll rise right back up the system. But you just never know, right? With Dustin McGowan, you just have to knock on wood sometimes.
Sometimes, and we have seen injury after injury after injury here just so often. Did you have Tim Collins last year?
We had Tim Collins in 2008. He's electric, and I hope that he continues to impress, because people meet him in person, and then they see him on the mound, and it's two different people. You have no idea what kind of life he has in his arm.
It's unbelievable, and I've seen him once, and unfortunately I saw him get knocked around in a Grapefruit League game. It's the only inning I've ever seen him pitch, so I'm dying to see this. But you look at the numbers that this guy has put up over the course of a minor league career, and you can put him in your pocket, right?
Yes.
He's like 5'6", 103 pounds, soaking wet, or whatever it is, 155 he's listed as. But, I mean, the arm, and at barely 21.
Well, I can add this, his heart. He's fiery. So you put him out there on the mound, he's going to fight for you even if he doesn't have his stuff. Yeah, I would swear by him.
These are the things we want to hear, and this is Lansing Lugnuts broadcaster Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Who else can you highlight for us from the 2010 edition of the Lugnuts?
There are a couple of guys who stand out. Chad Jenkins was the Blue Jays' first-round pick a year ago. He's legit. He's moving up to Dunedin. His fastball's terrific. It's a sinking fastball, too. He throws it nice and heavy at 93, 94. And his slider is just biting. It's vicious. Gets a ton of strikeouts swinging with it and the fastball. The changeup is still going to need to come around. Right now he throws everything hard, and he needs something off speed if he wants to be a starter and not a reliever. But he's got time. He's out of Kennesaw State University, so people were wondering what really to make out of him. Now he's going to continue to move up the ladder. He's smart. He's a hard worker. You'll be proud of him. The other guy is A.J. Jimenez, who I'm surprised that nobody's talking about yet. Exactly. With the Blue Jays system, there are certain positions that they have an awful lot of depth, and catcher is one of them. You've got Aaron Sebia at AAA, you've got Brian Gerolamon, and then you've got Travis d'Arnaud, right, at High A Dunedin. He was acquired in the Halliday deal. Jimenez is the next guy to watch out for. He's only 20. He's out of Puerto Rico. His arm is terrific. He can throw guys out without standing up. He uses the entire field for power. I don't know how he's going to hit as he gets older, but when you consider that right now he's leading the Lugnuts in runs batted in, he's homering everywhere you look, he's spraying line drives this way and that, there's no reason that he shouldn't show up on every prospect hot sheet. He's got the best arm in the entirety of the Midwest League, I'd say maybe Class A. He handles pitchers great, and he's still learning. Oh, and by the way, he's got 14, 15 stolen bases, so he runs well, too. I'd put him on any sheet. I think that he's a top prospect.
That's tremendous. It's good to hear, and I'm sure Blue Jay fans are enjoying hearing this kind of stuff. Tell me, before I let you go, tell me about baseball in Lansing.
Yes.
What it's like, the ballpark, and I got to ask you about Sal Fasano, who's one of my favorite human beings as well, and who's the manager of the Lugnuts. Do you ever just sit down and talk to him about rock and roll?
Well... You don't need to sit down. He'll find you, and he'll discuss rock and roll with you, because he's got his opinions. He'll blare his music out during BP. You'll always hear his tastes.
Fantastic.
And he takes over the team bus on the road trips, makes sure that good movies are the ones being shown. Sal is the kind of guy who he's been around. He's seen so many people. He's played in, nine different major league organizations at the show, and I believe 11 or 12 major league organizations when you count the minor league systems, too. He has so many stories to tell and so much wisdom to provide. And the players will just sit at his side and they'll ask him, what was this like? What was it like with Barry Bonds coming up to the plate? How did you have to prepare? How was it, let's say, in Yankee Stadium? What were the fans like? They'll ask him about every single aspect of it. You'll see different players coming up to him. And that's all well and good. That's fine. But where he really shines is he understands pitching. And he's handing out lessons on pitching on a daily basis, helping each and every guy out with whatever that guy specifically needs to work on. I could see him, maybe as a manager as he rises up, but I could see him moving to pitching coach and being very good at it.
I could see him, too, in the major leagues sooner than later. And just a terrific human being and understands baseball. And we've had his experience like as a pitching coach here, too. He made a couple of tweaks with a couple of pitchers, Roy Halladay one of them, that he kind of saw things in. And without overstepping his bounds, working well with Brad Arnsberg and with Bruce Walton, he was able to be that kind of pseudo-pitching coach.
Well, he commends those two different things that a baseball player, boy, if you can master those, you're in. He commands respect, but also he commands camaraderie. When you're with him, you trust him. You respect him, you love him, but also you look up to him. And when you can balance all those different things out and having the players thinking of him first as a best friend, a guy that you can turn to, but also as a guy that you do not want to disappoint, that's major.
Yeah, that really is, and that's sums up Sal Fasano, absolutely. So tell me about the ballpark, about the play. Is there a lot of competition with the University of Michigan? I know they're Michigan State in East Lansing and relative to Lansing, and just tell me what goes on over there.
Well, it's wonderful, as a matter of fact, especially once the summer months hit. The city loves its team. When the team was first moved, it was moved from Rockford, Illinois, where it was failing. 1996 was the first year, so we're into the 15th anniversary of the team. And people were predicting it to fail in the first year and the second year. And they're still going strong. And we're talking 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 fans on a Thursday night, a Friday night. The biggest crowd ever was last year, 8 fans shy of 13,000. And when you talk about a stadium that the seating capacity in the bowl, with the box seats and all the bleacher seats, is 7,000. And wow, we're regularly bringing in 8,000, 9,000 on Friday night, Saturday night. It's marvelous. The fans love the team. And that's something to be said because they're Tigers fans in Lansing, Michigan. Now, they know who the players are, but gradually they're getting converted. When they see guys rising up to the major leagues from the Lugnuts, that means something to them. They're rooting for these guys to succeed, and they love their baseball. And so the atmosphere, if you go into not just Lansing, but anywhere in the surrounding area, you will see Lugnuts caps and Lugnuts jerseys. And the team still is in the top 10 in all of minor league baseball in terms of retail sales all over the world, all over the country. People love the Lugnuts. And I'll be doing my broadcast and getting emails from folks all over the place saying, I've become a Lugnuts fan. I love the team. I love the logo. The logo's hilarious. And it just, there's something about them that folks really love, especially in that area.
That's tremendous. And that's a great way to end it. But let's give you a little bit of a pub here. Are the broadcasts online? I know you're on Twitter. Tell people how they can find you.
So Twitter, it's at Lansing Lugnuts. The team website is LansingLugnuts.com. And then you can go listen into virtually any radio broadcast. And with the Lugnuts schedule, 140 games squeezed into April through the first week of September, we virtually have no off days. We might have one off day in the month of August. That's it. The players are put to work. So you go to WQTX.net. That's how to listen in for game time. You can find the schedule on LansingLugnuts.com.
Perfect. And you'll hear Jesse Goldberg-Strassler doing a fine job with the Lugnuts and filling us in a ton on what's going on there. Thank you so much for your time.
It's been my pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of the All-Star break and enjoy however long you're going to stay here in Toronto. It's great to have you.